Song service. I tell you, I get so challenged from songs. He is everything to me. Think about that for a moment. Is he? Can he be? Will he be? Will I let him be? Do I trust him for everything? Do I cease from my labors that I may find that rest that belongs to the children of God? He is everything. It's a very difficult position sometimes for humanity to allow the Lord to be everything. But that's what He wants to be. And that's where we find rest to our soul and to our life. And there's where we find peace. And there's where we find joy. And there's where we find security. By allowing the Lord to be everything for us. So I want to encourage you and me today that we would have a quest or a goal set before us and not be satisfied till we've reached it, that the Lord would be everything for us or to us. If there's a place He's not, don't give up and throw your hands up in despair. Just set a mark there and say, that's where I want to go. I want to go there where Christ is everything to me. I'd like to borrow from a thought Brother Dan, well, not a thought, a scripture. Read, quoted some last night. It's in Isaiah 53. And read that first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The report of the Lord, we're going to think about it for a moment this morning, is 66 books long. And I'd like for us, and it's filled with many parts, chapters, verses, paragraphs. It's filled with quite a few pages, depending on the size of your Bible, the print of it. The report has been issued from the mountain of the Lord, the very King's throne room. It's come through the mouth of prophets and sages, wise men of old. It's come through the pen and the voice of apostles, and it's come through the presence of Jesus Christ. The report has been handed down to us, and I would encourage us all to be very familiar with the report. Be very familiar with what God has declared. And today I want to look at another aspect of that report. It's just another one of the many, many things that the Lord has to tell you and me in saying, I love you, I care about your welfare, I'm interested in you, and I want your joy to be full. And I want you to be happy, and I want you to have rest in this life to your soul. One of the greatest needs for you and me to have joy and to have rest and to have peace is for us to have security, to feel secure, to feel safe. And that's my burden this morning, that we look at some of the scriptures, some of the report that tells us that we can be secure in Jesus Christ, in God the Father, in the Holy Ghost, in the plan of salvation. And in being secure, we can rest. You know, we all probably have checking accounts. We all maybe have a little savings account. We have things that we consider valuable. And we do something about that to keep them secure. We put our checking money, perhaps, in a bank that's FDIC, secured and insured. Because security gives us rest. It gives us a degree in this world of freedom from worry and fretting. Security gives us hope that I can make it, that I can meet the needs. And if something does arise, I've got this that I've set aside, or I've got this available to me or a friend, that I can meet it. So it gives us hope. And the Lord wants us to have all of those things. So I want us to think about the security God has granted to His children. And in so doing, relax. Stop our fretting and our worrying. Stop our own labors trying to provide for ourselves what God has already through His Son, Jesus Christ, freely given us. Now we have the pledge of that in that He has given His only Son. How shall He not then with Him also freely give us all things? I believe to be a spiritual person and enjoy this rest, we've got to think outside of our own cranium and our own thoughts and our own abilities. In some way, we've got to get a hold to the glory and the power and the love of the divine, and that I can see in Him all things that pertain to life and godliness, and my sufficiency rests no longer in myself, in my provisions, or what I think for that matter, but my security rests in the provisions that's been made for me by the Almighty Father. Today we thank God for that. Over in Matthew 16 and 18, the word we're studying is the report concerning the security that belongs to those who love God and have been embraced by Him. Jesus Christ wrote or had written to us in the 16th chapter of Matthew in the 18th verse. I want to back up just a moment. In order for this report to become effectual and work what it's meant to work in my life and in yours. You know, in the world, there's a report every time something happens. And the reports generally come from the standpoint is we don't want it to happen again. Or how can we improve? The report that God has given us is something that He wants us to embrace. But for it to be effective in our life, we've got to embrace it. We've got to believe it. So where is a better place to begin believing than the words themselves of Jesus Christ? If we today, and I know we do, but if we today cannot believe Jesus, who can we believe? What authority out there is unchanging? What authority out there is totally selfless? What other authority out there has nothing but our good intended? Who else out on the space and the vastness of the world and eternity can never lie? Who is it who gave His life for us other than Christ? So if we today enter into a worship service, we want to recognize this is one we can believe. And this is His word to us. And I will say unto thee, thou art Peter. Say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, I'll build my assembly, my people, my body, my called out, my jewels, and my treasures. Upon this rock, I will build my collective body in heaven and in earth. And this is the security that He offers to every one of us who enter into that called out assembly. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Beginning today, let us be assured, if we have not already been, that all the threats and the schemes and all the diversionary things that come up from the gates of hell or the council of the ungodly or from the very abyss of the unseen world, from the dark places and the recesses of sin, from all those things that could harm you, me, physically or spiritually, all those things that are intended to harm or to discourage or to hinder our progress, to take away our joy, to cause you and me not to believe, Jesus Christ has declared to you and to me, all those things will not overcome, will not defeat, will not prevail, will not mount up such an army that they can press against the church and overcome it. The gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot prevail against the body of Jesus Christ. Now this is something, folks, that's elementary and fundamental to salvation. But I wonder sometimes about myself. How far and how deep am I willing to enter in to this promise? Do I withhold those things that are precious and sacred to me in my mind? Are there special fears? Are there special things that occur to me? Are there rooms and doors and are there places that I am afraid to venture into because I don't feel secure enough? Hence, when I do not do that and I hold back, I miss the blessing that's there. I miss the rest that is afforded in entering in and letting the Lord take control. Today we can have security. The gates of hell, the unseen world, will not prevail against the body of Christ. I believe that today. Now, we'll go on, but I'll say this now. It's not by our might, but it's the might of the Almighty. It's the power of the Almighty. Young people here today, thank you for being here. God appreciates that. And you face an uncertain world in many ways. Not in many, in very many ways. And economics, and environmentally, and financially. We don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not going to be a prophet of doom and say it's all going to be bad. But we face an uncertain future. Men's heart can faint. People can think, what's the use? Satan can come along and say, why try? But remember this, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Over in Ephesians now, let's consider something Paul wrote to us. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to understand that God has power, creative power. God has the power to speak and things are. God has the power to change circumstances. God has the power to save souls. God has the authority to forgive sins. God has the power to make all things new. God has the power to have the wisdom to lead us in an unerring pathway on the highway of holiness that we might go to heaven. And he said, be strong in that. Be confident in that. Be assured in that. Let's not ascribe to God a little power. Let's ascribe to God all power. Let's not say God can sometimes. God can, period. And you and me have the privilege today of giving our lives and our hearts and the events thereof over to Him. So Paul said, be strong in that. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One writer said, the schemes of the devil. The tricks of the devil. The places the devil would like to throw a log or a tack or a thumbtack in your pathway. Heard one time, and I suppose this is pretty accurate, that on the battlefield, an injured man, injured soldier, requires 2, 3, sometimes 4 other soldiers to take care of him. You know, the Lord, the devil wants you to backslide, of course. But he also wants you to be injured. And that hinders the workings of the body. So the Lord said through Paul, be strong in the Lord, that we might be able to stand against all the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And here, watch this trick. Here's where we stumble sometimes and get caught up in something. As long as you live, here's something you're going to have to deal with. Mark it. Human relationships. And the devil likes to come along in his conniving and his scheming and make you and me or have you and me think that's the enemy because we don't agree on something or we see things different or we have different temperaments or we have different taste or we whatever. Some people's emotions run so high and some seem like run so low. Some people can take things with a grain of salt, like, well, that's okay if that's what they think. And some are insulted and hurt at the least little implication of something. That is not where we need to focus the battle, folks. We've got an enemy out there, and it's not us. We're different, but God has made the body fit together if we believe the report and trust in Him. We are a complement one to another. Has all the body one gift? Has all one part of the body rather have one all the gifts? God has given it as He's seen fit, the Holy Spirit has. So here's where the enemy is. It's not your brother that didn't say hello to you yesterday. And Lord, help us to grow past that mentality. Here's the enemy. Not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not going to try to analyze each one of those, but I want to say this. That's where the enemy is. He's in the dark places. He's in the dungeon houses, in the places where the vilest of things are provoked and brought out and give forth to the world. He is in the very minds of the diabolical evil one himself. Now, that's where the battle is. And remember what Jesus said. That unseen world, Hades is what he meant. That place of the departed could be paradise, or it could be wherever the name might be that the sinners are kept till the resurrection. But the unseen world, the unclean things that do live there, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We have that security, folks. So there is an unseen world. And so there are principalities and there are evilness and wickedness in high places and there is great darkness in the world today. And I say, we're not going to try to analyze that. You know it. You see it. They're scheming against righteousness. They're scheming against holiness. Are you touched by it? Or are you affected by it? I am. I don't imagine you're much different from me on that. Does you ever have, I wonder, you hear the enemy through the media or through a scientist or through some libertarian or liberal person speaking and they say this is right and all your life you thought, no, that's not right. And do you ever have a question come to your mind? It's not making you a sinner. That's not making us a bad person. We've got those things that are scheming against us. And he said the gates of this unseen, diabolical, controlled world, then the world belongs to the devil. You read over there when Jesus was tempted, the world was given to the devil by all accounts. He's the God of this world. He was able to give kingdom after kingdom to Jesus Christ. He said, all that's been given into my hands. And Jesus said, no, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Security. So we can go forth as conquerors. We can go forth conquered. More than a conqueror through Him that loved us. When you think about a building, you think about a beginning, I suppose everything I understand about building, you have to have a foundation. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and we need security in that foundation we build on. The Lord talked about those that built on rocks and those that built on sand. So the foundation is important. And we don't want to build on a shifting, undermined foundation. There's a scripture in Isaiah 28 and 16 that is quoted, I think, three if not four times in the New Testament in reference to Jesus Christ. So the writers of the Bible, those apostles who related to this, saw this as a direct prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. But I want to read the original, 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, and he was speaking to the people at a very uncertain time. Godliness was not rampant. But ungodliness was. He was speaking at a time when people were trusting in themselves and chariots and horses, literally. They were making leagues and they were going after the idols of the land. And they were departing from God, a very uncertain time in the history of Judah. Very uncertain time. Don't we today live in uncertain times? But the Lord gave a prophecy that the writers of old took as a direct prophecy of Jesus Christ. And today, in this uncertain time, young man, young lady, and all of us, there is a foundation that you can build on. God said He would do something. Behold, I lay in Zion, or in the holy hill, or in the city of God, or in the church of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I myself, not man, not an earthquake, not an upheaval of the earth, not some kind of special formation. No, I myself, the great I am, has laid a foundation for us. I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a stone that has had everything examined about it. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. It is that you and me can build on and go forth and rest, because we're secure. The foundation holds. The rock doesn't move. Jesus Christ never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He will be that one that will come back to receive unto Himself the bride, the church, and will forever be with the Lord. He is that foundation. He laid it Himself. God laid it Himself, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Live in a real fretful world. Live in an uncertain time, I think. Probably all the society's been that way. You ever noticed how people get in haste and get in uproar when things happen? I know there's times to have our feet walking a little faster than other times. But have you ever noticed the insecurity? A disease comes along. Little sickness comes along, maybe not a little. Something happens and it, whoof, it's the headlines. How long has there been disease and sickness ever since Adam? Well, how long will there be sickness and diseases till Jesus comes? But have you ever noticed the uncertainty now? The fear that grips the heart of people at the thought of sickness? It's as if we have placed so much trust in the medical field that we desire and want an instant fix. And when they say, well, there's no cure for that. The world, especially the civilized, quote unquote, seems to panic. And it becomes the media's hobby horse for weeks, months. People scurry around in fear. Lord, help us. He said, they that believe shall not, in one other place he talks about, shall not be confounded. You remember, that's quoting another writer. Do you remember the gates of hell, that unseen world, will not prevail? In another place he said, shall not be made ashamed. Things that make us ashamed is when we fail to do the right thing. Sinfully or just ignorantly, or I forgot. Friday, that was yesterday, I went to get the groceries, or some of the groceries. And my duty was to come by here and pick up a check and go to Sam's to pick up the groceries. In so doing, I'd saved $25, $26 in sales tax. So in my zeal and gusto to get down there, I leave the house and go straight to Sam's. I got 2 or 3 miles from Sam's and I remembered the check. Well, that's incidental. I can take the ticket back and get our sales tax back. But the point is, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And I thought, dummy. Then I tried to have to figure out a way to get around it. What if they won't take my check? Or what? Well, they wound up, they took my credit card. So we got the groceries. The Lord wants to guide us into all truth. Paths of righteousness for, listen to this, for His name's sake. See, He wants to guide you and me that for His name's sake we'll be a glory to Him. And other people will look on your life and mine as it's led by the Spirit and they'll say, the Lord's doing that. And He said He had laid in Zion a foundation. Paul said it this way, no other foundation can any man lay than that which has been laid, or hath been laid, and that's Jesus Christ. So here, for our security, is a foundation. Well, let's go on here as time permits us. Over in John, again, we're going to read what Jesus said. And who better to believe? John 17:11. John 17:11. And now I am no more in this world. He went away. We heard a little of that last night. But these, you and me, guess what? We're still here. They are in the world. Consequently, we're subject to the things of the world. Yes, we are. If you live over in Alabama and Georgia, and they had that terrible drought, and they're in Florida, and maybe in the Carolinas. But I'm a saint of God. That's true, you're a saint of God, but you are subject to the drought that's going on. We're in this world, but our anchor and our foundation is not in this world. Our hope and our aspirations and our goals are not in this world. And Jesus said, but these are. I come to thee, come to thee. Then He said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Maybe He was speaking here of the apostles. I wouldn't question that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with extending that down a couple thousand years to you and me. To believe the Lord, praise. He prayed for Peter. Said that his faith fail not. Can we not believe today that we're included right here too? Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me. The Lord has asked the Father Himself to keep us. Security is what we're talking about. And in having security, we have rest. In being at rest, we have joy, we have peace, and we have assurance. The Lord, the report is today, there's a great security in Jesus Christ. And we can cease from our labors, from our trials, or our trying to work things out. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. Over in the 10th chapter of John, in the 27th verse. I got the right chapter, but the 29th verse. 29th verse. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Stop right there a moment. It's important that you and me know how to ascribe greatness. I don't care what you think of in this life and ascribe greatness to it. And there are great things. Everything of this world, every great thing that we ascribe that greatness to, be it a physical greatness, a temporal greatness, something of the natural earth, every greatness that is of this earth has its limitations. And it has its place that it can't go and it can't touch. The greatness of this world is handicapped because it's of the world. Now listen to what Jesus said of the Father, that the Father is greater than all. Of all the ascribed greatness in this world today, as you ascribe it, as you say, that's great, I want to entreat you and entreat us all to look to the Father and say He's the greatest of all. There is none greater. Are there not wise people? Sure, there are wise people. Are there people that you can count on to give you good advice about a subject? Sure they are. It's not wrong to know that. But we need to realize that every one of those great things have limitations. And they'll not be able to stand the judgment shock. Today, our Father, consider Him. Know Him. In your mind, consider the Father greater than them all. Are there some great trials? Yes. In our heart today, is our Father greater than our great trial? Are there great sicknesses? Yes. In our heart and in our mind, is our Father greater than they are? You see, if He's not in our mind, He may be, but if in our heart or mind He's not, we won't find rest. We will be making haste. We will be confused. And maybe, probably, ashamed at some point. So, yes, consider the greatness of the world, this expanse of the universe and the greatness of the creation, of men's abilities and talents. Yes, they're great things. But I can't focus on them to the degree that's where my security is. My security is God is greater than all of that. Songwriter said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Aren't there some beautiful words written? Poems and songs? I marvel. I sometimes think, oh, I wish I could do that. I can't even read poetry, but I love it. That makes sense. I admire the people who can put words together to express meaning that I feel in my heart. I admire that so. But you know, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly cling to Jesus' name. My Father is greater than all the beautiful words that were ever written. Neither in the 29th verse, actually this is a repeat of the 28th, except He trades places with Himself and the Father. And no man, in the 29th verse, is able to pluck, snatch, pull, tug them out of my Father's hand. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord? And as we feel safety, folks, we can rest. As we feel safety and secure, we can smile. And we can have joy. And we can have peace. So the Lord has come to do that. Guess who? For you and me. In this day of uncertainty, in this time, Jesus prayed or said that it was His Father's will that He would lose nothing. But may go on just a moment. 8th chapter of John speaks about the devil. And he speaks about the devil in no charity whatsoever. 8th chapter of John, the 44th verse. Jesus was speaking to some folks whose motivations came from hell. "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." A lot of thoughts right there. If we give ourselves over to the fear of the devil, to the wisdom of this world, that's what we're going to do. "And the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and never abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Another place, I believe somewhere in here, it describes to him being a murderer. So, that's what we have to deal with. And I need security. And Jesus said in 18th chapter of John, 37th verse, "And to this end I was born, that I should bear witness of the truth." Jesus came and John said this, full of grace, full of truth. The Bible speaks about the truth enabling us to be free. Free from the wiles and the schemes of the devil, who paint bleak, sour pictures before you, who bring in the what ifs and how comes and human relationships. And the Lord told you and me that love will cover a multitude of sins. How dare I stay there in a hurt feeling when love will cover a multitude of transgressions? Think about it. The truth has the enabling ability to expose the devil and set me free. And then as I am free, the bonds of my own thinking, my own abilities are broken, and I can rest because then I know something. I'm not depending on me. Wow. That is relief. To know that it's not up to me. It's God who lives in me. God who leads me. And he said, the truth will set you free. Because see, the devil never abode there. He just never was. Can't. He can't even tell the truth. If he quotes a scripture, some way he's lying to you. Remember that. And Jesus said, to this end, I was born, that I might bear witness of the truth. Again, security comes from having a power greater than the adversary. Security in knowledge is that I have something in my mind greater than ignorance. That's security. Security is knowing that regardless of what happens, there is a sufficiency of the good thing that I'll need to take care of the adversary or the thing that came against me that's not good. There will be enough there that I need not fret, that there will be enough to take care of my need, whatever it is, education, temporally, spiritually, human relationship-wise. Security comes in knowing regardless there's going to be enough. You mean I don't have to worry? No, you don't have to worry. Trust. Obey. Believe. Enter into it. The only people that didn't enter into God's rest was those who didn't believe. That was the only requirement. Believe the report. Well, folks, we got a little struggle there. Because I confess to you that I'm human. Okay? I like and I dislike, I feel, I hurt, I cry, I laugh, I have hopes, I have dreams, I have all these relationships. That I'm right here with all the rest of us. But what we've got to do is believe my Father is greater than them all. So we need power. Don't we? Jesus said in Luke 24, and 49. To his disciples, he said, I want you to do something. I'm leaving. I'm paraphrasing this. I'm leaving. I want you to wait. I want you to stop what you're doing. Don't you go out and try to evangelize. Don't you go out and start telling people I'm alive. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. Right here. And I want you to tarry there till something so special happens that you will know without a doubt that you have been empowered from power on high. Till you have been endued with power from on high. Did you know one of the greatest securities we have is the Holy Ghost? God in us, Christ in us, our hope of glory. Today, we can be secure because God has said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Jesus said that, I will come to you. We have the blessings of knowing that we can have the Spirit of God. And all the power, all the glory, all the strength, and all the wisdom, all the ability to say no to wrong. And we can be secure in that. Now I don't have to be afraid. Sometimes the Holy Ghost in years past was called perfect love. John wrote about it. He said that perfect love does what? Cast out fear. Security, see? The life that I live, it's not mine anymore, but it's Christ. It's God in me. How do I know it? Because He loved me and gave Himself for me, Paul wrote. Oh, Lord, we can have today offered to us the security. Over in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he talked about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed probably means, in this case, stamped. His approval, His seal upon us. These are mine, saith the Lord. I know we could look at it as saying, kept pure. Certainly no wrong in that statement either. But just think about it. How shall I say this without to make it? Have you ever been asked for identification? Some of you have traveled from out of the country, had to have a passport. And not going through all the details of a passport, but somewhere in there is a seal, stamp, saying, this man, this woman is, and they are a citizen of a certain country. They've had the security checks. Please admit them. Let them out of the country. Let them into the country. Isn't that a secure feeling? You ever tried to go somewhere without proper eyes? See, yesterday I was a little insecure. Would they believe me? And would it be right? Or would they consider it right? Would I? You know, I didn't know. I was insecure. But you know, when the paperwork's right, and you've got that seal, that's security. When you know it's been stamped by the president, the governor, whomever, then it makes you have a secure feel. It's okay. I got to go through this checkpoint, but I got my paperwork. I got to go through customs, but I got my paperwork. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Here today is a very beautiful, beautiful promise in the Word of God. And this is what Paul said to the Philippians, 1 and 6. 1 and 6, Philippians. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. That is security, folks. Do you notice one little situation here, a word that denotes something on our part? Confident. Being confident. I know in whom I have believed, Paul wrote. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am more than a conqueror, he said, through Christ that loved me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said that we're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Now, here's the last scripture we read. That he that began the work. See, you were driving down the road one day in sin, and you felt this tremendous conviction because you were a sinner and you were going to hell. And you'd sinned against God. Maybe you pulled the car over, but you immediately said, I've got to get out of this prison. I'm just the car. It could be walking. It could be in school. It could be anywhere. I got to get out of this. That was God working with you. You to be my child. I want to lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Being confident that he that went to that extreme for you, of giving his only begotten son, calling you out of sin, washing you in the blood of the Lamb, taking off your robes of sin and putting on the white robes of the righteousness of Christ. He that has done so much up to this point, shall he not continue right on? Being confident of this, that he who began it, he's able to finish it, then I don't have to fear that that comes against me. I don't have to fear the enemy, the hidden things. I don't have to fear the unseen world. I don't have to fear the relationships sometimes that try me. No, no, 1,000 times no. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your father, my father, is greater than them all. Now, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And how do we get that rest? Isaiah 53 implies it and says it. We get it by believing and trusting and by obeying. We receive it by that rest and that peace by casting those human elements and worldly elements all on the Lord. Those relationships that try me, that sin that would beset us, casting them all on the Lord. And knowing that there's something greater in me than he that is in that out there in the world. And as we believe that and exercise ourselves, there comes to you and me a security. And the interest of that, say you put your little bit of savings in the bank, cruise 2, 3, 4, maybe if you find the right place, 5% today. The dividends, we call them. Stock purchases, you get, if the company makes money, you get dividends. The dividends, the interest is, and you shall find rest to your soul. Why? Because all of the precious things, all the vital necessary things, all the things that pertain to life and godliness are secure in the hands of God. You pray for me.